A very important topic in sociology is deviance. Now, deviance is sort of a modern philosophy, modern sociology way of trying to account for sin. But the fact is we know that deviance, by any other name, is ultimately sin. And the meta-narrative of Christianity talks about how creation itself was frustrated, that sin is real. 1 John 1:8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We read where that sin came from. After Adam and Eve fell into sin, Genesis 3:23 says, "So the Lord banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life." So in Genesis 3, if you look at that in detail, you'll see how Adam and Eve ate of the fruit and how they were banished from the garden. And in being banished, it changed everything about Adam and Eve and their relationship, and it would change everything in society. So we see that every aspect of humanity, every institution, was frustrated. God banished, in a sense, God frustrated humanity. We would no longer have access to the tree of life. We have been frustrated. And why? Romans 8:19, "The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed." Okay, so why? It's because this is a great time to be alive. Christ has come. Redemption is here. Christ is our rescuer. "For creation was subjected to frustration." That's right. Not by its own choice. I'll tell you, we would not choose that. We would want to have another chance. But by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We can see why that occurred. That essentially we chose the way of knowledge of good and evil through Adam and Eve, and humanity wanted to go our own way. But then everything got frustrated. We read about, for instance, in the book of Genesis chapter 4, how it's not long after Adam and Eve are banished from the garden that chaos sets in. Polygamy sets in. Murder sets in. All forms of violence sets in. And the wickedness at times feels like it's totally unrestrained. And Satan continues to tempt people just like he tempts us today. So their adversary back then, before Christ Jesus, had even more reign. After Christ Jesus, the devil is even completely held back from what he could possibly do. We read in Revelations that he was even cast out of heaven. But we still have that frustration of the devil tempting people. In 2 Thessalonians 2:9, "The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displaying all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders." And we read about real people, like 1 Timothy 1:20, "Among them Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme." And we read about people in 1 Timothy 5:15 who have fallen away. Some, in fact, have already turned away to follow Satan. So what sociology calls deviance, we see it as spiritual warfare. You know, Satan is trying to tempt humans to stay away from God. We also see the fall of humanity. So when we look at deviance, We see how it is in all creation. Even deviance in a broad sense, like for instance, I believe that even things like mental illness are a form of a sin-affected creation that's been frustrated. I believe that, you know, things that do not creationally conform to God's design, there's an aspect of the corruption of sin that went into our biology, that went into our psychology, that is out there. And in some ways, as Christians, we can see how it was meant to be. And then we look at society, and it's not that way at all. I mean, even things like, how is it possible that after God created the heavens and the earth, and even after Adam and Eve fall into sin, that in Adam's living this long life, that unbelief by the time of Lamech, we read about in Genesis 4, sets in. And Lamech, when he is living, doesn't even necessarily believe there is a God. And Adam is still living. So we're talking, all of creation was so frustrated. You know, some people go like, wow, with all that deviation or sin, how do we not destroy ourselves? And I would say it's the grace of God. God keeps us in his hands, protects us, and in Christ Jesus, the pinnacle of all history, he died to take all sin on himself. Satan is cast out of heaven, and his power is clipped and diminished. And the resurrection starts bringing renewal to every piece of creation. So, as we're now going to talk about deviance, I want to talk about it in light of the Christian meta-narrative. Let's never forget that. So, let's get into the subject matter in sociology, deviance. Deviance is any behavior that violates cultural norms. Now even these cultural norms develop, and sometimes they're pretty logical. Many times they are influenced. Christian history, heritage nations, the cultural norms have been influenced by many parts of the Bible. So deviance is any behavior that violates cultural norms. Deviance is often divided into two types of deviant activities. The first, crime, is a violation of formally enacted laws, and it is referred to as formal deviance. Examples of formal deviance would include robbery, theft, rape, murder, assault, just to name a few. The second type of deviant behavior refers to violation of informal social norms, norms that have not been codified into law, and it is referred to as informal deviance. Examples of informal deviance might include picking one's nose, belching loudly in some cultures, or standing too close to another unnecessarily, again, in some cultures, could be deviance. Now, the first type of deviance, crime and, you know, hurting your neighbor, breaking the Ten Commandments, you clearly can see as part of sin. The second form of deviance blurs the lines. And again, because of sin, we don't always do loving acts or acts that are considered loving depending upon the cultures that we're at. There's a term in sociology in the discussion of deviance called deviance vacations. For example, Karen Holloman of Pennsylvania State University studies how some people exercise informal deviance. Her research focuses on what she calls deviance vacations, where people of certain socioeconomic status descend into the lower strata. For instance, heterosexual white males may become drag queens on the weekend. It is a vacation because heterosexual white males can afford to descend temporarily and then return to the advantage of their true socioeconomic status. Other examples may include white hip-hop acts like Emden and new metal bands like Lip Bizkit that represent the lower or middle class people in order to use their socioeconomic credentials for profits, despite their true socioeconomic status. Now, how do I feel about these deviant vacations? In a lot of ways, these examples are very Marxist interpretation, and they're also, in the case of this Wikipedia textbook, you know, talking about like fluid gender, and we're going to talk about gender later and how, you know, there is a movement of, you know, such fluidity that there's a deviant vacation. You know, I don't know how I feel about that quote, but you need to know this as part of the information. Theories of deviance. Psychological explanation. While the focus of this chapter is on sociological explanations of deviance, there are explanations from other disciplines as well. For instance, recent research in neurology and psychology finds that boys with conduct disorder have differences in their brain structure and that those differences exist during childhood and adolescence. These differences likely contribute to their deviant behavior, but whether or not these differences exist before deviant activities is widely debated. Again, I do believe that sin affects the biology, and you can actually test it, and you can see that sin has an effect. I mean, we see that in general. If you live a sinful life, a party life, eventually the gene or the test, the brain, will suffer that fatigue. Chemistry, chemistry changes, all these things can occur. Here's another theory of deviance specifics. It's called social strain typology. Robert K. Morton, in his discussion of deviance, proposed a typology of deviant behavior. A typology is a classification scheme designed to facilitate understanding. In this case, Morton was proposing a typology of deviance based upon two criteria. One, a person's motivation on his or own adherence to cultural goals. And two, a person's belief in how to attain his or her goals. These two criteria are shown in the diagram below. According to Morton, there are five types of deviance based upon these criteria. So here's what they are, and then we'll quickly explain them. There is the accept and reject, and the new means of acceptance and rejection. So there's conformity, innovation, ritualism, retreatism, and rebellion. Now, all of them are forms of rebellion. Now, some of them I would classify from the Christian meta-narrative as more sinful. Others would be deviance that doesn't fit in the sinful box, that could actually fit in the innovative creativity box as image bearers of God. But in terms of sociology in general that says that there is no sin, they're not going to classify and do a typology that looks at ones that what deviance typology that are more sinful and not as sinful. So let's just talk about the social strain typology. Conformity involves the acceptance of cultural goals and attaining those goals. That is a banker. So, you know, in this case, the people who accept and accept culture are really those who are in the conformity strand. You know, they basically are born into a society, they please their parents in their institutions, and they basically go along with the program. Next is innovation, and innovation involves the acceptance of the goals of a culture, but the rejection of traditional or legitimate means to attain these goals. That is, a member of the mafia or street gang values wealth, but enjoys alternative means of attaining his or her wealth. Now, if you look at that, in this case of innovation, is there are certain things that they accept. Like, for instance, they would accept the benefits of money and all these things. And in this case, they use the word innovation as doing non-lawful means, like they mentioned mafia and so forth. A lot of times innovation can be a good thing, but it still has to be legal. The next one is ritualism. It involves a rejection of cultural goals, but routinizes acceptance of the means for achieving the goals. A disillusioned bureaucrat like Milton in the movie Office Space, who goes to work every day because it is what he does, but he does not share in the goal of the company making a lot of money. So if you look at there, they're rejecting cultural goals, but there's some acceptance going on. In other words, we show up for work. It's almost like a passive-aggressive existence. So there's deviance going there. Then there's retreatism, which involves a rejection of both the cultural goals and the traditional means of achieving these goals. A homeless person who is homeless more by choice than by force or circumstance or a commune established separately from the social, the dominant social norms. So if we see here where you're seeing a form of rejecting and rejecting, in what we have here is two forms of rejecting. It's like the norms and the values are not appreciated, but then there is retreat away from these very things. And the last is rebellion, which is a new means. And really, this rebellion is a special case wherein the individual rejects both the cultural goals and the traditional means of achieving them, but actively attempts to replace both elements of society with different goals and means, you know, a communist revolution or a social movement of activities. So what we see in all of this deviant discussion is we really do see how sociology tries to define deviance. And again, the Christian meta-narrative is, I believe, a superior understanding that sin is in the world, and that, I mean, you can see that in a family. You can see that with a two-year-old. Like, you have this two-year-old, and already there's, what do you call it, deviance? It's as if it's in the very nature to do their own thing. Now, on one level, that's the human condition. We all walk in the knowledge of the tree of evil, and we all will find the consequences of wrath if we do not find the Lord. And the Lord is not our rescuer. Ultimately, we will be rebels, and we will continue to be rebels. So deviance is a very good discussion, and you know, and you can probably look at your own life, and you can, if you honestly look at it, you can see where sin has created many of these now sociological explanations of deviance. And it's excellent if you go into ministry, or you're a Christian leader in the community, or you're just at a workplace, you will find many examples in yourself, tempted in yourself, or in society, in your local community, in your marriages or your churches, where the various forms of deviance play themselves out. I mean, the whole concept of crime, why would we have people who just imagine so much about crime? I was talking to the leaders over at the Michigan prisons, and we're talking about working with prisoners who actually are people who are on supervision, not incarcerated, but they're under the supervision of the Michigan prisons. And one of the things that the leaders there said is that people really make work of being deviant. If they would just take all this creative energy and not have crime as their motivation, they could get way farther ahead. Now, why wouldn't they do it that way? It's because, again, the Christian meta-narrative is there is sin in the world, and we all need a Savior.